if you have a love of money or materialistic things, guess what? You're robbing yourselves of blessings. Because I could have been greedy. I could have said, God, I ain't moving nowhere until you give me the money to do it. And I'm going to keep all my money to myself while I'm waiting.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is Forbidden Love and was recorded live at the A Word from God Bible Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
All right, I'm on fire for God, but you know I'm always on fire for God, right? Not by my own doing, but by the Holy Spirit. He comes to baptize in fire, and I'm on fire today. I'm on fire because you know what? We're going to be talking about forbidden love. What? Forbidden love? What do you mean, Pastor? We're Christians. We're full of God's love. What do you mean, forbidden love? Well, I'm going to go over that today. Our key verse is going to be Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21, and I'll be reading out of the NIV. So if any of you do not have a Bible, we do have some on the back over there, back table over there. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through verses 21. Everybody who can stand, please do so for the reading of God's holy word. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Heavenly Father, we come to you today, and we thank you, God. We thank you for this gathering, Lord. Father, I would pray that you would protect this church from the evil one. God, I pray that you will prepare our hearts to hear your word and prepare me to speak it, Lord. We give you all the thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Praise God. Forbidden love. I got a lot to cover, so forgive me if I go a little quick through it. First of all, I want to start a little introduction here. The Christian life is built on love. Somebody say to your neighbor, Christians are built on love. And here's the good news. You guys ready for this shocker? God loves us. Okay? I know that might shock some of us today, but God actually does love us. Despite our situation, despite what's happening in our lives, God is still with us, and he still loves us. In John verse 3:16, we read, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. What a great sacrifice God has done to spare us the flames of hell. And in Romans chapter 5, verses 8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Listen, we didn't even deserve it. We were still in our sins, and Jesus died for us. How many times in our own heart do we tell ourselves that we'll be good to somebody or love somebody when they're worth loving? Jesus loved us when we weren't worth it in the eyes of sin. Praise God. Somebody hear me out there today? We're supposed to show this same love. Amen. And then we are to love others. We are to love others. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14 and 18. We know that we have passed from death to life, spiritual death into spiritual life, because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. This is how we know that This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This is what I preach up here. You could tell somebody you love them all day long, but when someone has a need, you have to step up and you have to meet that need. That's what real love is all about. That's what real love is all about, is taking care of one another and not just receiving all the time, amen? But giving something back, right? Amen. Love has limits, though. There are some things that we should not love. First of all, we're forbidden to love sleep. Let's open our spiritual ears today and listen to this. Proverbs 20, verse 13, do not love sleep or you will grow poor. Stay awake and you will have food to spare. The Bible warns about the danger of laziness. Now listen, I'm talking, there's all kinds of different types of laziness here, all right? There's all types of different laziness. I've seen people do something that doesn't make any sense and work themselves to the bone doing it, and then not do something they need to be doing. Amen? The Bible teaches that we are to keep busy serving the Lord. We don't want to be spiritually lazy. There's people out there that are dying every day, and many of them are going to hell, and they need a witness to come to them before that time happens and tell them the good news about Jesus Christ. Time is precious. Every day deserves our best efforts. Like I said, people are dying out there, and I'm being serious up here. People are passing away as we speak, and they need someone there with them to give them a word from God. God calls workers, and Satan calls shirkers, people who avoid work and responsibility. Don't you know that the devil wants to whisper in your ear and tell you there's plenty of time for that? Get to it later, or take a nap, or rest a little bit, or you've done enough. But no, God calls people who works. He calls you into duty. Moses and David were tending sheep when called. Elijah was plowing. Peter, James, and John were fishing. These were working men. Paul preached day and night with tears. Paul was working for the gospel. However, we are not saved by our own works. Don't get it confused now. We're not working to be saved. We are saved by grace through faith. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Can't boast about your own salvation, can you? Saved by grace, amen. So we're forbidden to love the world. We're forbidden to love the world. You know what I'm talking about when I'm talking about the world, right? Listen. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. Do you see this? Do you understand what we're being taught here in the book of John, the first book of John? We're not to love the world. But what about John 3:16, where God said that he so loved the world that he gave his one and only son? What about this verse? God loves the people in the world. That's what that verse is telling us. Okay? We're not to love the world system. Last week, I was up here, I believe it was last week, and I told you the world is against God as a whole. We're in a fallen state. So we're not to love the things of the world that would take us away from God. We're not to love those things. This world is about the lust of the flesh and the eyes and the pride of life. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, again, for everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does comes not from the Father, but from the world. Do you understand what I'm getting at? We're not to be boastful. We're not supposed to have lust in our heart. We're not supposed to do those things. We're not supposed to do something for God and then go around telling everybody what we did. I mean, it's okay to tell them that you went to church and that you're welcome to come along. I mean, that's not what I'm talking about. But we're not supposed to be out here boasting about what we have. Look at my car. Look at my house. Look at my fancy furniture. I'm glad that God is blessing you if you have those things. But we don't need to boast about them. And we don't need to have lust in our eyes when we look at another human being. I know that's hard in today's world because of television. TV is full of filth, isn't it? Number three, we're forbidden to love money. Forbidden to love money. How many of you in here know that some people just love money? Raise your hand if you know somebody that loves money. Keep your hand up if you're one of them. We got a couple honest people in here. Now, I'm not saying that money is bad. Don't take it that way. Money is a necessity. Amen? Try going without it. See how that feels. I understand that. But listen, we cannot elevate the love of money above the Word of God. We cannot put money first and put God aside. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." Listen to this. Some people get so wrapped up in money that they no longer listen to the Word of God. They no longer obey the Word of God. They go out and pursue their own interests out of greed, out of the love of money. You cannot do that, because trust me, it will catch up with you. I have seen it in the lives of others. When you put something, it doesn't have to be money either. You put anything above God, you will start to fall into sin, because anything that is not of God is sin. Are we catching what I'm saying here? This is very, very serious stuff, because there was a time when I used to cling on to my money. Confession is good for the soul. And I didn't want to give it up because I was in a situation where I felt that if I gave my money up, I might be hurting even more. But listen, consider how Jesus confronted this issue. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 40, Jesus says to us, "And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic," that's like your clothing, "leave," or "let him have your cloak as well." You hear what I'm saying? If somebody is so desperate that they want to take something from you, like your clothing, maybe you should give them a little bit more than what they're asking for. And see, this doesn't compute to some people. Some people are like, "I like my clothes, and I don't look so good with them off." Amen. I'm speaking for myself, but you all beautiful. But what Jesus is saying is, don't cling on to something so tight that it begins to own you. Amen? It can. Money can own you. It can dictate to you. It can speak to you, and it can rule over you. And before you know it, your possessions possess you. That's why we're forbidden to love money and materialistic things altogether. The love of money can steal our blessings. Listen to this, because this happened to me. You know, I haven't always been a pastor. I was once a baby Christian, and I wouldn't tithe. And I tell you what, somebody told me, "You know why you're broke?" "Why?" "Because you're robbing God." "No, well, I'm not." "Yes, you are. Just keep doing it, and you'll stay broke." Now, listen, I'm not saying that giving money to the church or giving money to a nonprofit organization, doing good with you, it's going to just like open a floodgate of money for you. That's not what I'm saying, okay? When we learn to give the money that God asks us to give to the church, we learn to surrender a love over to Him, and we learn to put that money below Him, knowing that if we have a need, God is going to meet it. We did not have the money for this church. I'm serious. We could have sold everything we owned and still not been able to purchase the things in this church. But God saw that we were faithful with the little that He gave us, and He multiplied it. But if you don't believe, I promise you, you won't receive, because you only please God through faith. And if I didn't stand strong in my faith with my wife and my family and the small congregation that we had at the time and spoke over the congregation that this garage is temporary, this living room is temporary, God is going to elevate us. And if you think this is the stopping point, you don't know my God. You don't know my God. Money didn't get us here. Faith got us here. And that's why if you have a love of money or materialistic things, guess what? You're robbing yourselves of blessings. Because I could have been greedy. I could have said, God, I ain't moving nowhere until you give me the money to do it. And I'm going to keep all my money to myself while I'm waiting. And guess what? I would have been there a long time. Because in my beginning steps with Christ, that's exactly how my attitude was. I wasn't going to give my money to the church. I didn't think that they deserved it. Well, how do I know what the preacher man's going to do with the money? That was my thinking. Shame on me. But I was ignorant. I was ignorant. It took experience. It took the word of God to teach me. And one of the verses that stood out for me was Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 and 10. Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse. Listen to this. This ain't me talking. I'm not up here squeezing money out of the congregation. I'm telling you what God says because I want to see you blessed. Because guess what? Guess what? God's going to bless me even if you don't. Praise God. I'm just saying. I'm trying to help you. Because I know where God's taking me, amen. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me on this. Come on, guys. You want to test God? Test him on his word. God loves it when you throw his word back in his face, because that's faith. Oh, he loves that. He's like, oh, so you believe in what I'm saying to you. Watch me show up and do what I said I'll do. God has integrity. Test him on this, says the Lord Almighty. How many of you know that God has everything already? How many of you know that God already made everything? And if he doesn't have something that he wants, he could just make it anyways. Guess what he wants? He wants you in your obedience. He wants you in your obedience, but more than that, he wants it out of love. You don't want robots. It ain't going to work if all you guys want is more money and you throw money in the tray hoping you're going to get more money out. That's the wrong motive. The right motive is saying, I believe in what Pastor James and his wife Terry is doing up here. But more than that, I believe in what God is doing up here. And it lays on your heart. And you say, you know what? I want to give the little that I have. I want to be obedient to God because I love God and his word and what he is doing in the church more than I love myself. God ain't going to let you starve if you're taking care of him in the right way. If your motives are right, you aren't going to starve. You're not going to starve anyways. But I'm just saying, God ain't going to let you down. He might let you think that he's letting you down to test you, but he'll never let you down. So he says, test me on this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. Listen, I didn't think we could afford this place. And so the lady, the realtor lady was telling me, well, maybe he'll sell you the stuff. And I thought to myself, well, I don't have enough room for this stuff. So God had to give me a big room for it all. Amen. Come on now. I still have these chairs here because they were in the garage. Try sitting in those. They're not that comfortable. But they'll keep you awake in church. But look what God has blessed all of us with, not just me. See, this isn't a short-term thing for me. I don't want you guys to show up today and be gone tomorrow. I want you guys to have a family here. I want you guys to be able to rely on one another. Maybe I don't have all the answers, because I don't, but I know someone who does. Or maybe there is somebody in here that has an answer for you that I don't have. But that's what a real family is about. A real family is where pastor can't do it for you, but there's someone in the pews who stepped up that will. You see what I mean? You get what I'm saying? And I'm looking at some faces in here right now that are about to cry because they know that there's some things they went through and the family was there for them. Amen? They know. I can see it on their faces. They're like, man, I remember when I needed the church and they were there. I don't want to preach to a dead church. I want you guys to be alive in Christ. I want you guys to love one another in action, in deed, to care for one another. Because that's what I'm doing every time I come up here and I preach for you guys. I'm doing that. I'm not perfect. I'm probably more of a sinner than all of you guys put together. At least in my book, I am. You know? But I'm saved by grace. And if God can do it for me, I know he'll do it for you. You know what I'm saying? Praise God. So ask yourselves these two questions. You guys ready? This is your own question. You don't ask this to your neighbor. Now, quit looking around. I see y'all out there just like, oh, I'm going to ask you. No, no, no. This is for you guys. Ask yourselves these two questions. Number one, what will you do with your time, talent, and money? What will you do with your time, your talent, and your money? Are you going to spend it on yourself for your own glory, your own pleasure? Is that what you're going to do and let it fade away? Because, you know, everything's temporal, right? You could plant seeds today and they can spring up tomorrow in the kingdom of God, or you can hog it all to yourself. Amen. What will you do with your time? It's yours. You have to make a decision what you're going to do with it. Just remember, you know, God's out there waiting for you to get into alignment. God, what's taking you so long? Oh, no, James, I'm already there. I'm waiting on you. That's what I used to pray. God, what's taking you so long? You. See, God will rebuke you if you listen in prayer. Open your ears and God will tell you, no, James, I've been here all the time. You. I'm serious. What are you going to do with your time? What about your talents that God has given you? You want to waste them on yourself for good pleasure? Silly things? God ain't going to make you not do that. But your talent could be used here at the church. Even just listening to somebody. Somebody's hurting right now and you could just listen. Maybe you're a good listener. Maybe you're a good listener. And money. You can go out and buy yourself something that you're going to stick on your shelf. And just look at. Collect dust. We all got enough of that. Amen? Or you could do something with it for God. You could say, Lord, I want to plant a seed in your kingdom. Bring somebody to the kingdom of God. These are choices. So what will you do with your time, talent, money? Secondly, this is another question. What will be of real value when we stand before Christ? Ask yourself that. Amen. She said it. Jesus is the real value.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. Now back to James.
What is all this talk about Jesus Christ? What is Jesus all about? In the Old Testament, God laid down 10 commandments. These were laws that people are to live by. Breaking any of these laws means to sin. The word sin actually means to miss the mark. Now, under God's law, a person who sins is subject to death for the penalty, spiritual death. What it means basically is that when a person's body dies and they have sinned while they were living, they are judged by God according to the Ten Commandments. And when found guilty, they are condemned. Now, in order for a person to pay the penalty for sin, they were required to give God a blood sacrifice. And this came in the form of a lamb. So in other words, when you committed a sin against God by breaking one of the Ten Commandments, you were required to slaughter an innocent animal and spill its blood in atonement or payment for your sins. Now, nobody in the world could ever slaughter enough lambs to pay for all of their sins they've ever done or all of the sins they ever would do. So a perfect sacrifice was needed.
Enter Jesus Christ. Jesus was God Himself in the flesh, who walked a perfect life here on earth. He never broke not one of God's commandments. And when He died, His blood was spilled, and He died as an innocent lamb would have died. Hence, why Jesus is sometimes referred to as the Lamb of God. In fact, in the book of John, He is literally referred to as the Lamb of God. The Lord, in His loving grace, sent Jesus to pay the full price for all of our sins that we would ever do or ever have done. And so we ourselves couldn't provide enough lambs to make this happen. God Himself stepped down from His throne and became a living being and was born for the purpose of dying to pay for all of our sins. If you've ever stolen anything, if you've ever lied, if you've ever cheated, so much as on a test in school, you have broken God's commandments. Even if you have looked at a woman in lust, the Lord says you have committed adultery in your heart. See, God is concerned about the state of your heart. And so, if you want to become a part of the Christian family right now and have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm not talking about joining a religion. I'm talking about having a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. The first step is prayer. Prayer is simply talking to God. There's no formal way of doing it. We just simply speak to God as if He was our best friend. And you know something? He is. So if you want to become a Christian right now, your first step is to pray to God and to ask Him to forgive you for your sins through Jesus Christ, and then to ask Him to be the Lord and Savior of your life. Say this prayer with me now. God, I am a sinner. I have broken Your law. I have ignored Your commandments, and I have lived a life of sin. And I ask You, God, to forgive me for all of my sins I have ever done and for all of the sins I ever will do. I accept right now Your Son, Jesus Christ, as my Lord and Savior and as my payment for my sins. I believe that He died for me, that He took my place, God, that He is the sacrificial lamb. I thank You, God. If you just said that prayer with me now, you are now in the family of God.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.